Good morning, everyone, and welcome to our service of worship for this morning on this wintry morning in Cornwall. Welcome to all who braved the weather. It wasn't quite as bad as they promised us, so that's a good thing. And a welcome to all who are joining us online. It is good that you are with us this morning as well. Announcements are going to get, well, for the next week or so they get longer and then they start getting shorter because all of these things that we're making plans for will have been passed. But as we gather this morning, the announcements were before you, but a couple of things that I'd like to just draw to your attention. The first is that the offering envelopes are ready for pickup this morning and they are in the McClellan room, so please take a look for your envelopes, if you are an envelope user. If you aren't an envelope user, there won't be a set for you. But, and if you want a set of envelopes, speak to me. But so envelopes are ready for you for pickup this morning. The session is reminded that Tuesday evening we are going to hold a short virtual meeting, because we are changing the platform by which we do electronic meetings. And amongst other things, we want to make sure that everybody's going to be able to jump onto meetings as we move through the rest of the year. So please, when you receive the invitation, take a look at it. We'll put a few little instructions as to how you can join and just sign in for a few minutes. We don't have really much business to attend to it, so it will just be to make sure that we can all meet together, and if we need technical support, Dan will be sitting with me here at the church to try to make that possible. For those who are members of our congregation but are watching online because the weather this morning has been a little less than ideal and you didn't feel like shoveling that heavy snow this morning, if you have things at your house that you were intending to bring for Agape or Baldwin House, you can bring them next Sunday or you can drop them off at the church anytime this week. And as I mentioned, the tempo of events is starting to pick up here around town. You're reminded that all of the community events are on the bulletin board downstairs in the hallway. So do take a moment to familiarize yourself with the events that are happening around our community and various put on by various organizations and congregations. But for us, the things that we are doing next Sunday will be the congregational pageant, and it's also everybody's favorite day of the year, Ugly Sweater Day. So this is your Ugly Christmas Sweater Day. Not just any old ugly sweater, Ugly Christmas Day sweater. So that's next week. Come and dressed appropriately. The Ecumenical Quiet Christmas, which is a service held conjointly between ourselves, Trinity Anglican, and Knox St. Paul's United. And it's a service kind of intended for folks who have suffered loss or who are going through hard times at this time of year. You know, sometimes it's hard to kind of deal with the usual good cheer stuff of Christmas when you're going through those sorts of things. And so this is a service particularly for you, a little bit more reflective and quiet in nature and addressing some of those other needs that we have. It's going to be held on Wednesday, December the 18th, at Trinity Anglican Church at 7 p.m. Then we will be here. We will be here, of course, in the morning on the 22nd as we celebrate the fourth Sunday of Advent. But that evening, we will be here at 7:30 for a community service of lessons and carols. And we are pleased to have with us for that service the choir from Knox St. Paul's United Church. And then Christmas Eve with all of the trimmings that you have come to expect here at St. John's. We will be welcoming back Therese Moutard and her students, and Lloyd King, our trumpeter, will be with us. And so that will be a highlight of our year. So please plan to be here for all, if you can, or most of these services. Each one will speak in a different way. Let us stand as we come into the presence of our Lord this morning and say together the call to worship as it appears before you on the screen. A voice cries out, a prophet speaks.
In the wilderness, prepare the way.
The valleys are filled, the mountains are made low.
In the wilderness, prepare the way.
The winding roads are made level, the rough ways made smooth.
In the wilderness, prepare the way.
God's salvation has come, and even now it is on its way. Blessed is the Lord God who has come to save us. Hallelujah. Let us come before God this morning in prayer. Let us pray. God of the wilderness, time and again you have sent your prophets to lead us to repentance, to make a way for your salvation to arrive. Help us this day to receive your presence, removing every hindrance and obstacle to your Spirit's work. Make your salvation known from every segment of our lives to every corner of this earth. We pray these things in the name of the one who is to come, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. This morning's opening hymn is number 109 in the Book of Praise, All Earth is Waiting, hymn 109. Please be seated. Friends, in Jesus Christ, God seeks to smooth those places in our lives made rough by sin. With humility and in hope, let us make our confession to the Lord as we say together the prayer as it appears before us on the screen. Cleansing God, we hear the call to repentance, but we struggle to respond. A voice tells us to turn around, but we prefer our own ways. You seek to purify us in love, but we constantly elude your searching hand. Our sins lead us in other directions, away from you, away from life. look with mercy upon us. Clear a place within us so that something new might be born, something that might return us to the way you have shown us in Jesus Christ. Amen. By the tender mercies of our God, the dawn from on high will break forth upon us to give light to those who sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, and to guide our feet in the way of peace. This is the good news. Thanks be to God. And once more, we turn in praise to hymn 124, or the words as they appear on the screen. We sing People in Darkness, and today we sing verses 1 and 3 of hymn 124. And it's the time for the candle lighting. And that will bring the McFadzens forward this morning.
In a world too often divided, we gather to embrace the gift of peace.
We come with hearts open to reconciliation and understanding.
We light the second candle of Advent, a symbol of God's peace in a troubled world.
May the light of this candle guide us as we seek to fulfill our calling as peacemakers.
Strengthen us by your Spirit to commit ourselves to standing against injustice
in our communities and in the world.
Affirm within us a dedication to foster your peace.
In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And this morning is also, before the children leave us, this morning's also, I'm going to drive Alex nuts, White Gift Sunday, because I'm going to come down one side and I'm going to walk all the way over here. And I see Rain is here this morning, and I see Jake, and maybe Hannah can help us. Can you help us, Hannah? We need to collect the white gifts. So if you guys would like to move through the aisles, and you will find people with bags of stuff that they would like to give. And could you bring them up? We're going to put them right here around the baptismal font this morning. Oh, that one looks heavy, Rain. Go see if you can find another. And perhaps if you have a bag, if you could raise your hand just so that they can see where they're going. Because the young people are just like us. If they sit on that side, they only go to that side. Good work. Thank you. Betty McConnell has something for you. She'd been waiting patiently. Do we have everything? We're all good? Excellent. Maybe we can just pop on a seat for just a second. Rain, come on back. Come on back. Just pop on a seat for a minute. Now, what did you do? What did we just do? Do you know?
We gave presents to Jesus.
We gave presents to Jesus. Well, kind of maybe close. If you're old enough, we call today White Gift Sunday. And it used to be cans of food that we would wrap it up in white tissue paper. Okay? That's why it was called a white gift. And we would bring them so that it could go to the food bank to help people who don't have enough to eat, and especially at this time of year since it's Christmas. So that's kind of, I think, how white gifts started in many congregations. And then there, of course, are other things that we do. And so we also collect for Agape Center, which is the food bank here in town. And so some of these very heavy bags that you had to carry, Rain, I know they were full of cans of stuff, right? So there was that. And then there were also other things, other packages that were wrapped. We have some teddy bears, because there are also people who aren't able to live in their own houses at this time of year because they've had to leave because of the circumstances where they live. And they go to Baldwin House. It's a shelter for women and their families. And so to help them celebrate Christmas and to make sure that they have the things that they need, we give them all kinds of things. We give them exciting things like toothpaste and soap and socks, because socks are always exciting, aren't they? But if you've had to, but if you have to leave your house and you don't have socks, that's an important thing. So there's stuff like that in some of these bags. And then there's little things. Who brought up the two big teddy bears? That was you. It was one of the smaller children. So all kinds of things to help make people's days just a little bit brighter at this time of year. So that's what we do, because that's part of our mission as the church, to share with others. And so that's what we've done today, and show Jesus' compassion, Jesus' love to others by sharing what we have. So that's what all of this stuff represents here. And thank you for your part in finding all of those things out here and bringing them all up front. That's terrific. And as we noted earlier, for those who are on the live stream who couldn't get out this morning because of the snow, if you have stuff that you want to bring next week or during the week to the church, that would be fine. So with that, we'll say a quick prayer. And then we're going downstairs because there's Sunday school this morning. You're learning about Zechariah downstairs, right? Because we're learning about Zechariah up here. But let us first have a word of prayer. Let us pray. And you can repeat after me. Dear God, we thank you for all of the things we enjoy. And for all of the things that we have to share. Help us to be grateful. Help us to be generous. That no one should be in need. Amen. Thank you very much. We'll see you after church school this morning. And once more, let us come before God in prayer. God of hope, who never lets us go, draw near to us in these ancient words, and by your Holy Spirit, may we be filled, lifted up, and leveled as you prepare in our hearts the path of your coming. Amen.
The first reading from the Old Testament is from Malachi chapter 3, verses 1 to 4. See, I am sending my messenger to prepare the way before me, and the Lord whom you seek will suddenly come to his temple. The messenger of the covenant in whom you delight, indeed he is coming, says the Lord of hosts. But who can endure the day of his coming, and who can stand when he appears? For he is like a refiner's fire and like washer's soap. He will sit as a refiner and purifier of silver, and he will purify the descendants of Levi and refine them like gold and silver until they present offerings to the Lord in righteousness. Then the offering of Judah and Jerusalem will be pleasing to the Lord, as in the days of old and as in former years. The responsive reading is from Luke chapter 1, verses 68 to 79. The words will appear on the screens. Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he has looked favorably on his people and redeemed them.
He has raised up a mighty Savior for us in the house of his child David.
As he spoke through the mouth of his holy prophets from of old,
that we would be saved from all our enemies and from the hand of all who hate.
Thus he has shown the mercy promised to our ancestors and has remembered his holy covenant.
The oath that he swore to ancestor Abraham to grant us,
that we, being rescued from the hands of our enemies, might serve him without fear,
in holiness and righteousness, in his presence all our days.
And you, child, will be called the prophet of the Most High, for you will go before the Lord to prepare his ways,
to give his people knowledge of salvation by the forgiveness of their sins.
Because of the tender mercy of our God, the dawn from on high will break upon us,
to shine upon those who sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace.
And the third reading from Philippians chapter 1, verses 3 to 11. I thank my God for every remembrance of you, always in every one of my prayers for all of you, praying with joy for your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. I am confident of this, that the one who began a good work in you will continue to complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. It is right for me to think this way about all of you, because I hold you in my heart, for all of you are my partners in God's grace, both in my imprisonment and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel. For God is my witness, how I long for all of you with the tender affection of Christ Jesus. And this is my prayer, that your love may overflow more and more with knowledge and full insight, to help you to determine what really matters, so that in the day of Christ you may be pure and blameless, having produced the harvest of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ for the glory and praise of God.
Our hymn is number 126, On Jordan's Bank, the Baptist's Cry, number 126, or as it appears before you.
Thank you.
once more, let us turn to God's word, as it is given in Luke chapter 3, reading verses 1 to 6. Listen for the word of the Lord. In the 15th year of the reign of the emperor Tiberius, when Pontius Pilate was the governor of Judea, and Herod was the ruler of Galilee, and his brother Philip, ruler of the region of Iturium and Trachonosius, and Lysantius, the ruler of Abilene, during the high priesthood of Annas and Caiaphas, the word of the Lord came to John, son of Zechariah, in the wilderness. He went into all the regions around the Jordan, proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins, as it is written in the book of the words of the prophet Isaiah, "The voice of one crying out in the wilderness, 'Prepare the way of the Lord, make his paths straight.' Every valley shall be filled, every mountain and hill shall be made low, and the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough ways made smooth, and all flesh shall see the salvation of our God." Friends, this is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God for his word to us. Friends in Christ, what I say to you this morning is proclaimed in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The chime on your cell phone or the notification box that slides out at the bottom of your computer screen, or perhaps if neither of these technological references resonate with you, the footstep of the postman coming up the front steps. Well, not this year, but you know. Or the sound of the door of the on the top of the mailbox falling back into place. All of these things indicate to us that we have just received a message. And around this time of year, those messages are frequent. Friday morning, for me, began with chime after chime from the youth group's messenger chat, reminding families of that evening's pageant practice here at the church, and people responding about whether they were going to be able to make it or not. Yesterday afternoon and into the evening, there were repeated dings on my phone again as members of my family shared gift-giving ideas. On any other year, there would be the eagerly awaited Christmas cards in the mailbox each day, wouldn't there? And tucked inside those Christmas cards, there would be the letters from our friends and family sharing the highlights of their lives over the past year. But, as I say, alas, not this year. And here in our worship service, especially during Advent, and in our daily lives, if we are observant, we hear God's message. This morning, presented through God-ordained prophets, Malachi and Isaiah and John, the son of Zechariah. Our readings for this morning provide us with the handing on of the prophetic torch from that long list of prophets in the Hebrew Scriptures to this, the last prophet, John the Baptist. It's been a long time since I sat down in that series of lectures in my first year of seminary. I'm not going to tell you how long. And in those lectures, sometime, I vaguely remember that I learned how the canon of Scripture was constructed. And I learned about, at least in some respect, how things fit together in the Old and the New Testaments. But because it's been so long, I'm just not completely certain. I'm not completely certain if the compilers of the Bible intentionally placed the book of Malachi where they did as the last book of the Hebrew Scriptures. But there is certainly a logical progression at work here. From Malachi's prophecy that we read this morning, "See, I am sending a messenger to prepare the way before me. And the Lord whom ye seek will suddenly come to his temple, the messenger of the covenant in whom you delight. Indeed, he is coming, says the Lord of hosts." And then the appearance of one named John. John, who comes to prepare the way for Jesus. And yet, as we hear the words that Zechariah utters of the birth of his son, which comprised our responsive reading for this morning, we hear familiar words that prophets of old may well have used to speak of once more the inbreaking of God's kingdom into our broken world. "Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he has looked favorably upon his people, and he has redeemed them. He has raised up for them a mighty Savior for us from the house of his child David, as he spoke through the mouth of his holy prophets from of old, that we would be saved from our enemies and from the hand of all who hate us." The lectionary, well, usually, in most years, I think we don't do justice to this story, the story of Zechariah and Elizabeth and of their son, John. Each year we receive a small piece of it. They come in different orders. You could be excused this morning if you thought that the responsive reading wasn't Zechariah's song at all, but indeed, something from the Old Testament, or indeed something from Mary's song that we're going to hear in just a couple of weeks, because it sounds so familiar. And we never get that whole piece put properly together. So for a minute, let's think about Zechariah and Elizabeth. Like Abraham and Sarah of the Hebrew scriptures before them, Zechariah and Elizabeth are old, and they are without child, doomed to live their lives alone, doomed to have no one to whom they can pass on their inheritance, no one in whom Zechariah's name will live on. But here in the lives of these two people, God intervenes to bring new hope. Just as he intervened in the lives of Abraham and Sarah so many years ago, although not so many years ago for those of us who meet on Wednesday night to talk about Abraham and Sarah, as we have been doing in the Bible study. And just as God intervenes in the life of our own world and in our lives to redeem us from our sin through the life of Jesus. In this most personal way, in the lives of Zechariah and Elizabeth, and also in God's actions for all humanity in the giving of Christ, God shows great compassion for us through the gift of a son. The birth of John, and through his proclamation, the gift of Jesus, Son of God, born of the Virgin Mary, given for us all, that we might live in righteousness and peace, and that we might know the wonder of our God. This is the message that we have through Scripture time and again, that God sides on our side to overcome all of those things that keep us back and that prevent his world from rising to what he knows it can be. This year's Advent sermons are arise out of a series of material presented by Kate Bowler. Kate is a professor of religion at Duke University in North Carolina. She's also Canadian. We'll throw that in too and claim her as our own. And Kate has prepared this series entitled A Weary World Rejoices. You may remember hearing that in the sermon last week. But one of the things that Kate mentions as she was writing her commentary on this text for this week had to do with our understanding of John 3:16. It wasn't part of our texts for the morning, but you all know it. We learned it in Sunday school so many years ago. God sent not his Son into the world. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. God sent his Son into the world, not to condemn the world, but that the world should be saved through him. It was that last sentence that Kate chose to speak about for just a moment, when she said that sentence, that God sent Christ into the world not to condemn the world, but that the world might be saved through him. How many of us have read that text and seen it as an either-or text? God could have condemned the world, but God didn't condemn the world. Many have probably done that, right? She says, and I never thought about this before, but she says, we've understood it wrong all of these years. It's not that God could have. It's that God could not have condemned the world. That it is not part of God's nature to be condemning, but that God's very nature is to redeem us all. And that, therefore, the redemption of the world is not an option in an either-or universe. It is the living out of God's love and compassion for us in all that he does. I was taken away by that particular thought and understanding. And what good news is that for us? That we believe in a God for whom condemnation is not even an option, but that God continually, time and again, from Abraham on forward, and indeed even beyond, before the time of Abraham, reaches out to us so that God's plan for the redemption of the world might be realized. We believe in a God who will not give up on us. A God who seeks to transform the world. And that is what we celebrate as we move through this time of Advent and nearing of Christmas. That all of those things that represent the brokenness of our world, the conflicts on the television set, the people who need these gifts that we need to bring this Sunday to ease their pain and to help them get through another year, all of those things are but fleeting in the great plan of God, who sends Jesus to set the world right. And in Christ, we receive the example of what that means. As we come this week, next week, the week after, we come standing in the hope of a promise of compassion that God has made for us, and that we eagerly await. And for us as Christians, We look to find ways that we too can participate in all of that, and that we too can be messengers of hope and of God's compassion to the world. Thanks be to God for his gifts to us. Amen. Our affirmation of faith for this morning comes from the Presbyterian Church in Canada's Living Faith document. We read this morning chapter 3.1, Jesus Christ and Israel. To the world in its rebellion and alienation, God promised blessing and restoration. The Lord chose Abraham and his descendants, and through a covenant with them, destined them to be bearers of that promise to all people. The Old Testament records among the great and mighty acts. It speaks of God's grace and judgment. It declares God's promise and points to the one to come. From Israel came the Messiah. In Jesus of Nazareth, God kept the promise of salvation. We understand his coming in the light of the Old Testament. Born of the seed of David, he lived as a Jew among Jews. Child of an Israelite woman, he fulfilled God's promise that Israel would be a light to the nations. In Christ, God came to dispel the world's darkness. Thanks be to God. Friends, as we rejoice in the Lord, rejoicing in the Lord always, we give thanks for the Word made flesh. With grateful hearts, let us offer our whole selves to God as we present to Him our tithes and our offerings. Let us pray. Lord God Most High, receive the gifts of our lives as an offering of gratitude for your grace. Overshadow us with your Holy Spirit, and let it be with us according to your word. For nothing is impossible with you, and we rejoice in your salvation. Amen. Once more, let us come before God in prayer. Let us pray. Redeeming God, in the life and ministry of Jesus Christ, your word made flesh, you have given us a glimpse of your promised kingdom. During this Advent season, spark our imaginations with the sweep of your salvation. Help us to see those places in our world where your kingdom is already breaking in, and yet waiting for its final fulfillment when Christ shall come again. And let your Holy Spirit, wild as the wind, gentle as a dove, move within us and among us to enliven our worship and strengthen our faith, enabling us to serve you with anticipation and joy. As did the psalmist, we pray for peace, and especially peace in our hearts. We name before you this morning those individuals known to us who are anxious or ill, alone or afraid. As the psalmist prayed for peace, so too we pray, O Prince of Peace, for peace in our communities. In the midst of political strife, social upheaval, economic stress, and neighborhood arguments, be with us and offer to us a glimpse of the future. We name before you now those who are known to us in our local communities who are hurting. As the psalmist prayed for peace, so too we pray, O Spirit of Love, for peace in our world. In the midst of war, angry words, and broken homes, we pray for all who live in fear. We name before you now situations of war and aggression. We pray for peace. For peace within the governments and institutions of our world. May all decision makers know the art of compassionate conversation. We pray for calmness and wisdom in our world leaders. May they know the delight of diversity when opinions differ. We name before you now leaders and institutions in our world nurturing or needing peace. God of love, Prince of Peace, Holy Spirit, We ask all these things in your name and for the sake of our world, your creation. And when our words fail to express the fullness of your kingdom, help us to persevere in prayer, praying in the manner that Jesus taught his disciples. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Before the closing hymn, just a reminder for those who are part of the pickup choir during the season of Advent, there will be a practice in the choir room this morning following worship to prepare for special music for services further down the road. So please plan to join us for that. This morning's closing hymn is 371 in the Book of Praise, Love Divine, All Loves Excelling, 371. Now, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say, rejoice, for the Lord is near. And may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in the knowledge and love of God and of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. In the unity of the Holy Spirit, guard your hearts and minds this day and forevermore. Amen.